From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Tuesday, July 25th. Coming up, we'll learn about how recent Medicaid redeterminations may impact people in McLean County. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Senator Dick Durbin believes the U.S. Supreme Court has been making a string of bad decisions lately, and it's a decision on President Biden's student loan forgiveness program that is one of them. Illinois Newsroom's May Antar has more.
One of the major arguments against the program was that President Biden and the Secretary of Education overstepped their power. James A. Campbell represented Nebraska in the lawsuit. He addressed the Supreme Court back in February.
This is squarely in the ken of Congress. Congress has the power and expertise to weigh the balancing competing fiscal implications, particularly at that scale.
Senator Durbin, an Illinois Democrat, disagrees. He says the Biden administration was well within its rights to forgive those loans. The Biden administration is working on new ways to forgive student loans, and Durbin says he supports those efforts. I'm May Antar, Illinois Newsroom.
President Joe Biden will sign a proclamation later today to create the Emmett Till and Mamie Till Mobley National Monument across three sites in Illinois and Mississippi. Emmett Till was a black teenager from Chicago who was abducted, tortured, and killed after he was accused of whistling at a white woman in Mississippi in 1955. His attackers were acquitted by an all-white jury, but his death propelled the civil rights movement. Brent Leggs is the executive director of the African American Cultural Heritage Action Fund.
Historic preservation and the preservation of these assets is our way of having a positive impact in society. But most importantly, it's to ensure that we never forget.
The Illinois site is Roberts Temple Church of God in Christ in Bronzeville, a historically black neighborhood on Chicago's south side. The Mississippi locations include the place where Till's body was pulled from a river and the courthouse where his killers were acquitted. Emmett Till would have turned 82 years old today. The U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services was in Chicago yesterday to talk about lowering the prices of prescription drugs. Mawa Iqbal has more.
Javier Becerra said HHS is working hard to carry out the Inflation Reduction Act, namely the measures protecting Medicare users from high drug costs. The law caps monthly insulin costs and fully covers preventative vaccines like shingles and tetanus. It also requires drug companies to pay a rebate if they raise their prices for certain drugs faster than the rate of inflation. Becerra said seniors on Social Security get a cost of living increase based on inflation. He said, quote, "Why should a drug company be able to increase the price of life-saving medicine for some of those same seniors who are on fixed incomes more than the rate of inflation?" Becerra said his department has already caught companies trying to do this. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
It's going to be a hot week in central Illinois. Temperatures are forecast to remain in the 90s at least through Friday, and heat indexes are expected to surpass 100 degrees on several days. Brian Williamson is with the American Red Cross of Illinois. He says hot vehicles can be deadly.
It goes without saying, but of course, make sure you're not leaving any children or pets in the car. Cars can heat up so quickly. The number's about 120 degrees that it can get up to in just a matter of minutes here with this heat as it is.
The Centers for Disease Control say more than 600 people die each year from heat-related illnesses like heat stroke. Williamson says if you do have to work outside, drink plenty of fluids and take frequent breaks. Still to come, we'll learn about how recent Medicaid redeterminations may impact people in McLean County. That story coming up next on 217 Today.
In the new season of Masterpiece's explosive series, Grantchester, police investigator Jordy Keating and Reverend Will Davenport are put to the test. With shocking announcements and an unexpected accident that threaten Will's and Gordy's closest relationships. Exploring faith, forgiveness, and redemption, you can stream each episode of Season 8 following its Sunday night air date. Friends of WILL can watch all 7 past seasons of Grantchester at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. There are about 36,000 people in McLean County who are on Medicaid, or one in five people. And that number has grown 20% over the past 5 years. That's largely due to a COVID-era expansion that enrolled more people and temporarily stopped asking them to prove they were still eligible for it. But a big shakeup is coming. Ryan Denham has the story.
Heidi Winfrey of Lexington hates Medicaid, but she wanted to enroll anyway. Winfrey's husband, Reggie, died last year from cancer at age 58. He was on Medicaid, the government-funded healthcare program for low-income people. Heidi feels strongly that he received subpar care because of it, manifests through dismissive encounters at hospitals and doctor's offices where Winfrey felt discriminated against because of Reggie's insurance card.
I believe in my heart, if my husband wasn't black and he didn't have Medicaid or Medicare, he'd have got the treatment he wanted. He'd have got the full treatment. So now I'm lost. I'm without a husband. All because of Medicaid. Nobody wanted to treat him. How many doctors I've heard, or how many nurses I heard, oh, you have Medicaid. Oh.
Winfrey herself has been uninsured for about 6 years. She recently tried to sign up for Medicaid at the urging of a doctor's office and was denied, told that she made too much money at her office manager job for a small plumbing and HVAC company in Bloomington.
My employer, my boss is looking around, but I might go to the marketplace. Because some of these doctors won't even take Medicaid.
Medicaid enrollment grew and grew during COVID, but that's now ending. With the COVID emergency over, the state of Illinois in May is resuming eligibility checks, also known as redeterminations, for the first time in 3 years. No one knows how many people will get bumped out of Medicaid over the next year. Some will be removed because they're eligible to join an employer-sponsored plan or a spouse's insurance, or because they don't know about the redeterminations at all and get kicked out anyway. Dr. Kathy Hempstead is a senior policy advisor at the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation.
Many enrollees are completely unfamiliar with the process of redetermination if they've only been in the program since the pandemic, so they're not expecting this. We know a lot of enrollees have no idea this is happening.
Her group estimates that nationally, an estimated 15 million people will lose Medicaid eligibility, with about 3 million of them ending up uninsured.
3 million is a lot of people. It's a roughly 10% increase in the total uninsured population, which is a shame.
The state of Illinois and providers are actively working to notify Medicaid enrollees about the redeterminations. A priority is asking them to update their mailing address. Carl Broman Medical Center in Normal is trying a little bit of everything. Posters, electronic notifications, and one-on-one conversations between staff and patients. But Carl Broman President Colleen Kennedy says human nature is such that we tend to ignore stuff that we get in the mail.
So unless you're on the lookout for it, I do absolutely think that many people will fall through the cracks, will lose coverage, and will not know that their coverage has lapsed until they show up in need of medical services.
Mike Romanoli is executive director of the Free Community Healthcare Clinic. He's got a theory about when those Medicaid surprises will happen.
That a lot of people are going to find out they lost coverage at the pharmacy because you tend to have more interactions with your pharmacist than your doctor's office going to pick up meds.
Even if thousands of people fall out of Medicaid in McLean County, that leaves about 30,000 who still rely on it, and the bulk are children. I interviewed 10 patients, providers, and other stakeholders who describe Medicaid here in very mixed terms. Good and bad, deeply flawed, but critical to the local healthcare picture. Take Lindsay and Dan Withy of South Bloomington. Dan and their 12-year-old daughter use Medicaid for their primary coverage. Dan's experience has been difficult. He never got to actually see his last doctor, only a physician's assistant or nurse practitioner, and referrals and treatments took forever to actually happen.
They would look at what insurance he had and slow-foot it out the door.
They never once decided to take care of me. They just said, okay, he's being paid by the state, so I'm just going to make him a state product.
Like it was definitely Band-Aids over bullet holes. If we were lucky, the Band-Aids were fresh.
Dan switched to a new doctor in April after they began accepting Medicaid, and it's been much better. The Withys have been impressed by the quality of care provided to their daughter, who is a NICU baby, has cerebral palsy, is on the autism spectrum, and has dyslexia.
She had a case manager through Molina, through Medicaid, walking us through all the referrals that we needed, walking us through getting us into the right doctor's offices. We have an amazing supportive care team with her right now.
One challenge is the lack of local providers for certain specialties that their daughter needs.
She's got two or three doctors who are a good 2 or 3 hours away. We go to see them once or twice a year, and it's taking her out of school for the entire day, or it's adding in a hotel stay because the available appointment's at 7 a.m. in the morning, and I'm not getting on the road with my 12-year-old at 4 a.m.
Not every provider accepts Medicaid, partly because Illinois offers famously low reimbursement rates. Dental care for those on Medicaid remains a big gap. Some specialties like mental health care or neurology have a shortage of providers even if you have costly private insurance. Bloomington Normal is relatively fortunate compared to other communities when it comes to the number of primary care doctors who do take Medicaid between Carle Family Medicine, OSF Medical Group, and the Chestnut Family Health Center. That's according to Mike Romanoli with the Free Clinic, which serves the uninsured. He says options have improved for some specialists, too, as more of those providers have been absorbed into larger organizations like Carle and OSF.
We are not the norm by any stretch.
One of those frontline primary care doctors is Dr. Maria Saavedra at Carle Family Medicine. About 40% of Saavedra's patients are on Medicaid. She says the workload and time constraints are high.
I think as primary care physicians, being that first, stop, we've now acquired a lot of the brunt of, behavioral health and, psychiatry not being available. And so we're taking on of a lot of demands from, other providers who are not available in the area and kind of try to meet those needs.
There are some positive developments locally. One is the expanded Chestnut Family Health Center, which opened 4 years ago in West Bloomington. The clinic now serves about 2,500 patients every year, and 90% of them are on Medicaid. Chestnut is assigned some patients by the state, others are referred from the hospitals. The business model works in part because it's a federally qualified health center that gets enhanced reimbursements from the government. Chestnut's chief clinical officer, Matt Mollenhauer, says they're having positive impact locally.
Healthcare works in a way that folks, they need it when they need it. They don't always think of healthcare from a wellness standpoint, and I think our goal in this facility would be to really change that as kind of a next chapter and really have folks think of their health care from a wellness standpoint or a proactive standpoint.
Chestnut Family Health Center is also partnering with OSF St. Joseph Medical Center's new Family Medicine Residency Program. That'll bring in 6 new residents every year who will see patients at the clinic for a 3-year program. Mollenhauer says Chestnut expects that to significantly expand their patient capacity. It's a mystery, though, how many of Chestnut's patients will remain on Medicaid after the state completes its redeterminations. Chestnut does have several clinic staffers certified to enroll people on Medicaid on site so they can talk to patients about their options.
I think we have high hopes that it'll go smoother than what people fear, but I do think we're going to have a pretty big impact on the number of people who are ultimately enrolled, and that's going to have an impact down the road.
If you're on Medicaid and want to verify your mailing address or find out your redetermination due date, visit abe.illinois.gov. I'm Ryan Denham.
And finally in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritcher says it'll be sunny with a high of 92 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by May Antar, Norman Hall, Mawa Iqbal, Tom Shelley, and Ryan Denham. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.